You're listening to Sci-Fi for Me Radio, until you unsubscribe in a sudden but inevitable betrayal.
The internet is making us stupid.
Or at least unkind.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to this episode of H2O, the long-awaited, long-promised...
Long-threatened.
Long-threatened topic of the internet and how it makes us very, very bad people.
The irony, of course, being that we have a website that is on the internet. We are doing a podcast. It'll be broadcast over the internet because it's like every other thing that is really, really cool and has, you know, the amazing potential to bring us all together. It also has that incredibly prevalent potential and reality of driving us apart. So, yay!
Yay!
Hooray for technology!
Hooray for technology! The cheerleaders for technology that you hear tonight, Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And my name is Jason Hunt, and we are here to discuss and opine about a couple of things. I want to start with a request. Those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis, first of all, thanks for tuning in and thanks for downloading and listening and clicking and keeping us on in the background while you do other things. But I want to start off with a request. There is here, as part of the show, we have an email address, h2o@scififorme.com. That's with a number 4, for those of you who don't hear the number in there. And we would like for you to send us an email and let us know how we're doing. Now, we know we can look at numbers and we can see how many people download the show and how many people click on the show and listen in some way, shape, or form. But it doesn't really give us an idea of how well we're doing. And it doesn't give us an idea of what you think about the show or the topics that we pick or anything having to do with your side of it. We're not getting very much feedback. So we would like to actively solicit your feedback for this show because we want it to be better. We want it to, you know, we want it to be as good as it can be. We want to deliver good content that actually means something and matters and makes you think and makes you kind of tilt your head sideways like a cocker spaniel and go, huh, didn't think about that. So send us an email, please, h2o@scififorme.com. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you think of our discussions. If you think maybe one of us needs to be replaced, I'll certainly go away. I'm ready. Not because of the show. I don't, you know, let me clarify that. I'm not ready to leave the show because of the show. I'm ready to leave the show because of the internet. And just some of the vile things that I've been seeing over the last couple of weeks. And I'm just like,
well, here's the thing.
Oh,
you know,
I'm so tired.
Here's the thing. I mean, when you and I spend a lot of time online, by the nature of what we're doing, and and we're paying attention to this in a way that a lot of people don't. You know, we're looking at it, which means we're looking for it, which means we're looking at it.
Yeah.
And which is a vicious cycle. And the thing, what ends up happening is that because we're aware of it, we see it everywhere. And what we're basically talking about, folks, is just how awful people are to each other online. And how much it has been the things that it's hurting journalism. It's hurting fandom.
Oh, easily. Yes.
It's hurting fandom bad. What was the name? Do you remember the name of the lady who wrote the article about video games? Was it last year? Made a comment about basically how they're, you know, the sexism that was prevalent in video games and got death threats. And, you know, horrible things suggested that were going to be done to her. I mean, it's just insane. I mean, that's fandom. That's us.
You're getting that now with the gaming.
Oh, yeah, well, it's
with
gaming.
The Zoe Quinn and the other one, the femme, standby.
Well, it's just, you know, it's women gamers. You know, we it's bad enough we got cosplay, you know, you know, real physical horrible things happening, you know, with interactions with people at conventions, with women in doing cosplay. But you know, just try, if you want to really, really get depressed about the nature of humanity.
Anita Sarkeesian.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, pay attention to what people say about these people online. You know, I mean, it's just.
Well, I think and we've talked about this before, the fact that the internet gives us, and I mean that as a collective us, mm-hmm. just in general humanity, as a group, we get a lot of anonymity online that we don't otherwise have.
Oh, yeah.
And
no, on one hand, anonymity is a good thing, okay?
I mean, to a point in certain applications, but If you're in these, I mean, I haven't looked at 4chan. I haven't looked at Reddit. Only time I've looked at Reddit was with Mark Hamill's Ask Me Anything. I looked at a little bit at Harrison Ford's, but I don't look at Reddit.
Reddit and 4chan have just never been things I've ever paid attention to personally.
Yeah, and to see a lot of the comments about what's been coming out of those.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that I want to go see what's in Reddit and 4chan right now. Now, granted, Reddit, as far as I understand, the different subreddits are managed and monitored and moderated and whatnot by various different people that don't have anything to do with Reddit.
Right. Well, and I think it's remember Yahoo Groups?
Oh yeah.
Remember back in the day, Yahoo Groups?
Yeah.
Yahoo Groups covered everything. You could find a Yahoo mm-hmm. group about, you know, your kitty, and you could find a Yahoo group about things that even on the internet, I'm pretty sure that the FCC doesn't allow me to say those words.
Yeah.
So then they're not even going to find us, and I still can't say those words.
The NSA sees everything.
Well, you know, I think they would prefer that I don't use those words online either.
I would prefer you
exactly.
Don't use those
so I mean, it's yeah. you know, but and then 4chan. You know, I never got into 4chan, but as soon as 4chan, the sewer that is 4chan has been around for a while. I mean, that whole feeling that it's just an awful, awful place full of awful, awful people. And I realized...
And that's all I see about 4chan.
And I, you know, believe me, you know, folks, by all means, this is exactly what we want you to use the email for. Correct us if we're wrong, because we don't have any experience with those. We just know what we're hearing about it. For all I know is there's a whole chunk of 4chan that is full of kind, good people who are appalled by what these other folks are doing to the rest of the thing. But
well, you see the big online let's all be nice to each other, stop the hate petition that's going around online in the gaming community right now because of all of this?
No, but
Well, and my question is, how did we get to the point where this becomes necessary for us to have a call in public for us to be polite to
each other? Because two things that have happened, that we have a communication system now, which is instantaneous, or the closest thing to instantaneous we're ever going to get. I mean, you literally type in a message, and within a second, someone has read it.
Yes.
And is responding to it.
As a matter of fact, I just got one of those.
There you go. Well, I think that okay, this is not me calling to go back to the days of writing letters, all right? I'm a big fan of the internet. I love instant communication. I love the fact that I can go online and I can research something, or I can read a review or write a review online or do all these different things, watch a show, all this different stuff that I can do. I love having this at my disposal, okay? This is incredible. And you know what I'm paying for it? A ridiculously small amount of money for what I'm getting, all right?
You're paying for yours?
I'm paying for mine. But the thing is...
My neighbor's got a... Wait. What?
Perhaps you've said too much.
I'm kidding, folks.
You know, no, I will happily admit for a very long time, the old apartment, it was the coffee shop right across the street, was quite happily providing me internet. But the thing is that when you had to write a letter, when that was your way of communication, or... You had your phone bill was gigantic if you wanted to make a long distance phone call.
I remember.
My ex-wife and I, we met in high school.
Yeah.
So
this is back before.
This is the 80s for crying out loud. You know, so long distance phone bills, oh God, you're, you know, the last thing in the world you wanted to do gets the $150 long-distance phone bill.
Yeah.
That was just for those series of calls. So what ended up happening is that you ended up thinking about what you were going to say. The art of letter writing, part of the art of letter writing, and the reason why we had these amazing letters from some of these historical figures, is that they thought about what they were writing. They weren't writing for posterity. They were writing so that the person reading the letter would sit there and go, I understand what you're saying. I get the gist of your argument, and now I shall respond in a reasoned manner.
Yeah, well, and plus, you know, the time frame involved, you know, you do have time to sit and cogitate and think on what your response is going to be.
Right.
And plan it and craft it and put the words together in a way that an email uses to just blast things out and Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah.
You know, and it comes back on you.
Well, here's the thing. You know, if all you have to do is, if you want to, you know, and of course, we're not just talking fandom here. This is something you see in politics. You see it in science.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the lady who, the emails came up. Now I'm going to mess this up. But there was a female scientist who submitted to a online magazine or applied for a job or something, and the response she got back from the guy was just horrible.
No, I didn't see that.
And just, I mean, it was just across the line, just like things you don't say to somebody in a professional setting. Leave aside, you know, the fact that she was a woman or anything. It's just stuff you don't say.
Completely unprofessional.
It's just completely unprofessional. Yeah. And well, that's just it. The filter is going away.
Yeah, and that's a bad thing.
How many politicians in the last year, 2 years, 5 years have had to delete tweets, whether they sent them out or their team sent them out, because somebody decided to say the dumb thing?
Well, and the latest one of those, since we're actually into this today, internet stupidity, CeeLo Green.
Yep.
Doing what he does. And interestingly enough, I did a little follow-up research on this one. And what people are saying he said is not entirely what he said.
Well, that's another thing that happens with the internet. The game of telephone.
It's like, oh, did you see? No, wait, hold it. That's one of the reasons why when we source another site for our news content, I try to, you know, and I tell everybody that's a contributor here, try to get back to the original source. Get back to as close to the original source as possible. So if we run across an article on IO9, say, that quotes Newsarama, and Newsarama quotes Slash Film, and Slash Film takes it back to HitFix, and HitFix takes it back to Mary Sue. I want to go all the way back down, find the original where it started.
Because no matter the best of intentions, because some of it is sloppiness, but some of it is deadlines, and some of it is someone misreading something.
Well, and some of it could be, I'm just going to summarize this part because this is all that's relevant to my audience, and this is this part here goes away.
Right. Sometimes, and suddenly sometimes context is extremely important.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's one of those things where, you know, it's the speed, and again I love the fact that I can get online very fast, and I can sit there and sit, you know, you can text me and say, hey, I just saw this story, have you seen this yet? And I can say, no, I haven't. And I can go online and I can get that story, and I can say, what, that's crazy talk.
I have an idea for a story. Yeah. And I on Twitter, I found there was the Apex magazine posted on Twitter that they're opening up for submissions again.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, I wonder if I've got any material for a story, like 7,500 words, short story. And then I thought about our topic, and I thought, well, I have an idea. This guy spends all his time at home, isolated, by himself. His only means of communicating and interacting with people are online. One day, he goes outside, and he sees a tree. What is this?
And he's forgotten what they are.
I I've had this happen to me several times where I've been, because my office is in the basement at home, and I'll be working because I edit video, and I'm sitting on the computer and I'm editing. And it's just me at home. It's me and the dog. And I will stop for a break. and I will go upstairs, and the house is pitch black because night has fallen.
Yeah.
And, you know, me, it's just me. You know, you leave the room, you turn off the light, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the rest of the house, nobody's in the house. The lights are off. And I walk upstairs, and I'm like, oh, it's nighttime. Which has got me thinking about it. This guy gets outside, and he sees a tree, and he sees a dog, and he's, you know, sees grass, and it's like, ah, and I thought, how many stories could we tell like that? But how many stories have been told like that? And,
sure.
And for those of you who are kind of wondering why we're even bothering with this, I mean, it is relevant to the genre because technology does play a huge part in a lot of science fiction, and you have stories like Fahrenheit 451, mm-hmm. THX-1138,
sure,
Brave New World, The Matrix, WALL-E, even.
Oh, we'll just talk
about
caves of steel.
Yeah, the disconnect.
Whole astronaut, the whole Aurora culture.
Yeah,
where people never see each other.
Well, and that whole sense of technology dehumanizing us. I mean, the Borg are a classic example,
sure,
of technology personified, mm-hmm, that just completely dehumanizes us to the point where we don't have good social skills. We don't have good means of interacting with people. We're completely outside of ourselves when it comes to dealing with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you said, it's kind of a two-edged sword, because on the one hand, you've got this vast wealth of information now at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it more accurate than others.
Sure.
And the benefits are there, but the negatives, the downside,
sure,
is also there, and it's getting uglier and it's getting worse. And a lot of people will point out like what we saw with the Ferguson riots.
Right.
Because so much stuff was hitting the internet as things happened, and maybe 80% of it was completely wrong. Because it was all, and we had talked about this earlier, there was an article somebody wrote, and I can't find it for the life of me, I wish I could, talking about how the internet has affected journalism to the point where it's get it out fast, don't get it out, you know, be first, don't be accurate.
Right, well, first.
You've got to have something new for people to read.
Well, then, and if it bleeds, it leads. So combine, yeah, those two. Well, I think that, you know, remember they used to call it the fog of war?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it was primarily from a military point of view, but it's the same thing. In a situation like Ferguson, there's so much happening. You're, yeah, in a crowd of people. You know, this is not to absolve anyone of anything or blame anyone in anything in Ferguson. But the reality is that when you get a reporter out there who's tweeting what's going on, first of all, 140 characters,
not near enough.
Is not near enough to sit there and talk about what's going on in a place where you've got, you know, you cannot boil down what happened in Ferguson to 140 characters. No. You cannot boil down any serious situation
That's
to 140
like,
characters.
I guess you could compare that.
Well, okay, Hitler invades Poland. All right.
Dewey beats Truman.
Truman, yeah. There's a few things. You
well, can it's the same kind of thing, though. I mean, the newspapers back then, they were all ready for Dewey to win.
Sure.
And they had the headlines ready.
Okay, and folks, you know, don't think that this is a new phenomenon. Yellow journalism.
No.
You know, we, it's,
remember the Maine.
Yeah, there's pretty strong evidence that we, you know, okay, there's lots and lots of evidence that at least one newspaper is responsible for taking the United States to war, because of a headline. So,
well,
I mean, it's,
and the, you know, you go back even further to, you know, the days of the telegram,
mm-hmm,
and the telegram that I guess would be comparable to today's Twitter, because you only have a certain amount of space, a certain number of lines, a certain number,
right,
of words.
Sure.
Otherwise, you know, I mean, you can't communicate very much in a telegram. And today in Twitter.
How is it we do not have a parody Western where the folks on the telegraph are telegraphing cat pictures to each other? I don't understand how this hasn't happened.
Well, you know, you could see, you could do a Western.
I'm going to have to make this happen.
You could do a Western, and everything that gets communicated is a tweet that's found on Twitter. Somebody,
what?
Just pull random tweets off of Twitter and make those the Telegram messages that go throughout this whole Western and see what happens.
Well, you know, honestly, this is why we need the Zucker brothers back. Because
yeah, they could do it
because do it. this would be the kind of thing where, because honestly, a western would be, I don't know, Brave New World, Frontier, et cetera. You know, and you could turn the whole thing into an internet allegory.
Yeah.
But then again, they would require that you know, it'd be like the, you know, certain Mel Brooks films and certain Zucker Brothers, Abrams films, where you were actually required to think with your satire.
Well, and you stop and think about how close are we to having holodecks?
Oh, you know, extremely close.
Holograph technology is there. You've got Oculus Rift.
Mm-hmm.
Right around the corner, there's holographic technology that's completely immersive, 3D environment.
They're already planning the porn.
And the, what was it one with Bruce Willis? With the robots. And they ran the robots by remote.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They're just in the chair all the time.
Well,
avatars are out in the real world.
How many science fiction stories have there been, both short stories and novels, about people who are plugged in and their bodies are dropped out? I can't for the life of me think about who wrote it or what the name of the story was, but there's one about a guy who breaks into an apartment and finds a woman basically starving to death.
Oh,
Hooked up to her. Hooked up to her.
That was recent, wasn't it?
See, I want to say it was in the last 10 years, but I can't not being able to remember the title or the name of the author. But yeah. it was very much that kind of thing. It's the technology.
Surrogates
was the movie. Thank you. The technology has gotten to the point where we can do that. I mean, you are, and a lot of this stuff turns out to be fake, but you hear about, because of course the internet is full of things that are not actually true.
What?
It's true.
No.
Not
Did
everything.
Did you read that on the internet?
I read that on the internet.
Because everything on the internet is true, right?
But you know, here's the funny thing is that again, this is not a new phenomenon. You would sit there and find this stuff in the newspapers. You would find this stuff in, you know, the broadsheets that would go out. There was all this different stuff. That would go out through, I mean, because the tabloids, you know, we think of things like the National Enquirer and things like that, or the Weekly World News and that sort of thing. But the tabloid journalism has been around for a really, really long time. The Daily Mirror out of the UK, okay, is notorious for saying, we've got this story, blah, da, da, da. And people sit there and go, we don't believe you because you're wrong about 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And that's a little Doctor Who reference there because they were the ones who posted the whole Clara's leaving thing. She might be leaving. The actress will at some point leave. But the online mini panic that this was started, it's like, well, it's the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor sits there and goes, what can we make up today? They're essentially the National Enquirer of England.
Well, it's like TMZ.
Oh, sure.
Or, like you said, National Enquirer. But the question of, you know, not only does the internet, you know, the technology dehumanizes and make everything impersonal, but there's a question as to whether or not it makes us stupid. It actually affects brain function and intelligence levels and all of that. And there are, you know, not only the question of whether the internet is affecting journalism in a negative way, and I think it is. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, I say that. What do we do? we're an online journalism thing.
We are a shining beacon of hope. I'm sorry.
You know, see,
my sarcasm got stuck in my throat.
Well, see, the thing about it is, though, I mean, you look at some of the other quote unquote geek journalism sites.
Mm-hmm.
IO9 especially has taken a political stance.
Sure.
And all of those out there, IO9, Nerdist, Ain't It Cool, all of the so-called geek-centric genre sites are all pop culture now. And they definitely have a point of view that I think is affected by their corporate overlords, you know, their big the big shiny corporate people up top, because, you know, Mary Sue definitely has a political bent because, you know, it's the feminist angle. You know, they all have a viewpoint. They all have a voice, mm-hmm. a particular voice. And they've staked their claim on those viewpoints.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not. But what I'm trying to do with this one, with our site, is stay completely out of all of that and not do the pop culture and be just focused on genre. And when we have a news article, it's a news article. We have an opinion piece, it's an opinion piece. And we differentiate between the two and try not to salt our work with politics, because you alienate half your audience one way or the other that way. And or you invite the trolls. The trolls start to come out, and in your comment boards start filling up with all sorts of ugly, terrible, terrible, ugly, terrible things. And there's this one guy here, Felix Hjelberg. I don't know that I've said that right. He's got 30 million subscribers on his YouTube channel. He's a gamer.
Uh-huh.
He's from Sweden. He is getting rid of the comments.
Mm, right.
He's turning them off permanently. His YouTube handle is PewDieDie. And he has apparently vented about the commenting system before, but he is completely shutting down the comments on all of his
sure.
YouTube things, because he says here, quote, "I go to the comments and it's mainly spam. It's people self-advertising, people that are trying to provoke, people who reply to all these, just all this stuff that to me, it doesn't mean anything." And the spam, of course, is getting really bad. I don't know how many times I've gone into the comment threads in some place.
Mm-hmm.
"My sister started making $45,000 a year, da 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 da." You know, coming just random
We don't talk about politics generally because, like you said, we try and stay out of this. But I'm a huge fan of following politics because I think it's a fascinating example of the worst and best of humanity. Mostly the worst.
Mostly
in the comment threads. One of the sites I go to, there's a guy who one of those auto "my sister got up," you know, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And he's been told by other people, you know, "You're wasting your time," but it amuses him greatly. He goes in and he sits there and breaks it all down and sits there and goes, "Really? That means your sister was making this much an hour. That's a terrible wage. What's wrong with you? That's insane. For the love of God, talk to your sister, explain to her how math and money works." And it's just, I mean, the first time I read it, I laughed out loud. I think I almost spit my coffee out. It was one of those, you know, "You owe me a keyboard" moments.
Right.
Because it was the tone was just so funny and just so witty. I mean, this was an intelligent, reasoned response to a spam bot, and it was hysterical. But a lot of these places, so many of these things, when you get to the size of, I mean, IO9 has a ton of comments, cracked. These folks have thousands and thousands of comments a day.
Well, and Gawker, which owns IO9, they just had to completely shut down their Kinja, that new comment mm-hmm. board that they had, that whole system got compromised.
Right.
With porn and whatever other stuff. I mean, they got to the point where they just shut it all down completely and had to retool it and put new safeguards in place.
Part of the problem is that some of this stuff is just not overseen. Because,
right.
I mean, you have Discus. Discus is a very popular commenting system.
Mm-hmm.
Discus is a moderated system. It requires that there be a human being at some point in the process to pay attention to the comments. And if somebody's flagged for inappropriate commentary, you know, language, whatever it is. I mean, whatever. Because, right. I mean, if you're running this sort of thing where you're going to have a comment system, in theory, you have you have received a Facebook message of some kind. The wonders of the internet, instant communication. I bet I even know who it's from, because someone just sent me a message and I gave them your name.
Wait a minute, I don't even know that I have Facebook up anywhere.
But anyway,
Okay, anyway.
The reality is that somebody has to pay attention to this.
See, the internet distracts us.
Yes,
it is a shiny squirrel.
You hear a ping.
A shiny squirrel.
I'm so confused by this.
Well, go ahead and finish your point, and then we'll.
But the thing is that if you could, the job that I could not imagine wanting to do, and so help me God, you'd have to pay me a lot to do it, would be to moderate a political board.
Oh, I know.
Or moderate anything where you have somebody. I mean, okay, yes. People can get heated when it comes to genre topics, all right? The Moffat-Davies debate can turn ugly real quick, although it's a dumb debate. Or the, you know, I hate Clara, or I hate, you know, Matt Smith, or I hate David Tennant, or whatever the particular hate the Doctor Who fandom has. It can get ugly real quick. But the reality is it's like nowhere near touching, say, politics or sports or some of the things where people have really super strong emotions. Okay, politics and sports and religion, these are the things that they're personal.
Yes.
They're personal for us in a way that few subjects are. Some of this stuff can get so ugly so quick. And just the idea that some poor bastard has to sit there and stare at the computer screen and go, well, this person's a horrible human being. They're banned. This person isn't a horrible human being. They're just a jerk.
I go through Facebook, and I sit there, and there are plenty of times I sit there and I look through stuff that's feeding in on my Facebook, and I think, this is a horrible human being. This is what a thing to say. Mm-hmm. Why in the world would you? All right, now I am going to flag you for going long, because as the moderator of the program. trying to keep us on time. We are watching our clock a little bit more closely. Doesn't mean we're adhering to it very much, but we're going to take a break.
We're going to try,
and we are going to take a break here, refill our coffee mugs,
and talk about a very positive thing online.
We are?
Yeah, a hugely positive thing online. Our sponsor.
Yes. Yes.
Let's see how good that.
Superherostuff.com. Did you see the TARDIS we got?
Yes.
It's bigger than I expected it to be. Now I figured.
Well, that's only appropriate.
Yes, it is. All right, superherostuff.com is where you can find all sorts of licensed merchandise, coffee mugs and t-shirts and hoodies and lunch boxes.
Like my Dalek mug.
Your Dalek mug. The Fourth Doctor scarf.
Yes. I have cardboard cutouts.
Yes, they have lots of cool things. So we do invite you to check out our sponsor, superherostuff.com, and we are going to hear from them during the break, which we are going to take now.
Refill our coffee,
and we will be back here on H2O.
That is the sound of another satisfied customer getting his superhero stuff teleported to his doorstep from superherostuff.com. When you need your Batcave or Fortress of Solitude to be bigger on the inside, jump on the World Wide Web and head over to superherostuff.com at warp speed. Licensed merchandise from across the fandom multiverse.
Oh, this is so cool!
Only at superherostuff.com.
Sci-Fi for Chicks is the podcast by the women of scififorme.com for women who love science fiction, and all you men who love listening to us talk sci-fi. It's the female perspective on science fiction and fantasy in movies, TV, games, books, and so much more. So make sure to subscribe to us under Sci-Fi for Me Radio on iTunes, Double Twist, OneCast, and RSS feed. Sci-Fi for Chicks is proud to be a part of scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Back on H2O, Jason Hunt here along with Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Eddie Oswalt or Van Oswalt, his clones.
Or Clara Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt in Time Magazine, an opinion piece dated August 27th, 2014. Headline, Why I Quit Twitter and Will Again.
Yes.
Subhead, maybe the next fashionable rebellion is to become unlinked, only reachable face-to-face. That's the pull quote from the article. Mm-hmm. He goes on June 1st of this year, I resolved to take a break from all social media. No Twitter, no Facebook, no visiting clickbait video sites, news aggregators, or any link with the words, "You won't believe," in the title. I logged off on June 1st and planned my return for Tuesday, September 2nd. And the bulk of the article basically talks about how it allowed him to basically reconnect with humanity. He said, a couple of times in line at a grocery store or coffee shop, instead of taking out my phone to stiff-arm the creeping ennui, I'd look around instead at the world, at the people around me, most of them looking at their phones.
Mm-hmm.
We now inhabit a planet where the majority of the population is constantly staring downwards, entranced, twiddling like carpenter ants. Do pickpockets know they're living in a second renaissance? Sometimes I'd catch the gaze of a holdout like me, a freak without a phone, adrift in this gallery of bowed heads, a teenager whose phone had probably died, or a slightly older millennial, probably waiting for a video to load. But they were unique and far between. It was mostly people my age and older, stooped, staring statues, peeping at windows in their palms. Once I'd gotten past the first month, though, I noticed an interesting pattern. By this point, I rarely looked at my phone. The only times I'd used Twitter was to retweet a link to a project I was involved in or help promote a friend's documentary or fundraising effort or album release. My phone only came out of my pocket if I needed to call someone or, more often, text someone. More and more, my eyes met the world at eye level. Those holdout freaks I talked about, the teen whose phone battery I assumed had died, or the older millennial I assumed was downloading a video, they were the ones not using their phones. They had the strongest immunity to the device's pull. It was the older people, the over 40s like me, and those way older, who couldn't escape the tiny gravity of connection constantly yanking us out of existence. I can almost hear Carl Sagan reading this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he goes on to talk about the fact that the people our age, because we're of an age with Patton Oswalt, talk about the line of demarcation, those times when that we remember no internet.
Right.
That we remember no immediate connection, immediate this right here at our fingertips that we have now. Whereas your millennials and your younger kids, the teenagers and the 20-somethings.
It's just part of their world.
Yeah, it's all they know. There's no novelty to it. There's no pull for, oh my God, I got to have this because it's so cool.
Oh yes, there is that, but it's not necessarily the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But he says, slowly weaning myself off social media has ironically made me feel younger. At least I have the habits of a much younger person now. I used social media, at least for these past 90 days, at the frequency of a 20-year-old. Occasionally. Like it wasn't some exotic novelty and didn't need to be consumed like a wine whose supply was finite. He says he's planning on doing this every summer. June 1st to Labor Day, he's just going to completely log off of social media altogether, just everything, and just reconnect with the world. He says, remember how in the Matrix mankind had become batteries so the machines could feed off of us? Well, it's happening now, just 140 words at a time. It's too late to go back, but you can carve out 3 hot months to recharge. That is Patton Oswalt in Time Magazine.
There is a periodically on my Facebook page, I will post a little thing about my visits to the bank for work.
Yep.
And
they're fun bits.
They are fun bits. And there was one from the other day about a lady who had walked into the bank, her face in her phone, into the middle of the bank before she realized she was not where she wanted to be.
But
wait, there's more, because she turns around and she leaves the bank. But the reality is that this is not the first time she has done this. Now, for those who live in Kansas City and know the bank in question, and I'm not going to tell you what the bank is in question, but but if you know the geography of that particular location, there's nothing next to it that is open at that point in the day. So realistically, she's not just walking into the building, the wrong door. She's walking into the wrong building. So it's one of those things. Yeah, it's. I have sitting next to me. You and I both have computers in front of us right now.
Yes.
We are talking on microphones, but we are looking. There are computers in front of us, and next to those computers are cell phones.
Yes.
We are just as connected.
And I have a Kindle over here as well. I've got two computers and a Kindle and a mobile device.
We are just as connected as everybody else. There are so many advantages to what's happening here. With this tech kind of super connected technology that we have.
And yet.
There's this horrible, horrible, and some of it's, a lot of it is the anonymity, where you can don't, and some websites are taking this way. Some websites have basically been requiring that you sign in with your real name.
And I think that's a good thing.
It is, but it's also not quite the deterrent that I was hoping it would be, because I can still see. Now, admittedly, I'm looking at a lot of the stuff I'm looking at on political sites.
Yeah.
Where political sites, again, it's politics should not be personal. And I say this with my, I got my political views and of course they're my political views. No, they're mine. But the reality is that politics has become so personal.
Yeah.
In a way that is not healthy. It's not healthy for.
Well, everything has been. Everything has turned personal. Everything has been, I have a right to. Well, I mean, how many times do we see pictures on the internet on our Facebook feed or on Instagram or on Tumblr? Here's what I'm having for breakfast. Here's what I'm having for dinner.
See, I don't even pay attention to that.
In my trying to figure out how to use our Instagram feed,
mm-hmm.
I hit the random and I'm looking.
Sure.
What are people posting to Instagram? Because I don't know this thing. I'm 44. Get off my lawn. This is not my thing.
Right.
I just posted on our Facebook group, Tumblr and Pinterest are on the chopping block. I don't have any clue how to use it. I don't want to use it. I want to know how to use it. Alex and Angie are going to be managing the Tumblr.
Cool.
And I'm like, this is beyond me. But I'm looking at Instagram, and I'm seeing what the celebrities are doing.
Mm-hmm.
What are they posting? What are the media notables? The people who do we follow?
Right.
And and I'm following various random people just to get an idea of what this Instagram thing is all about, right? And I don't know how much of it is food, pets, feet. Look at my feet. No, is it feet? I don't, pedicures, shoes.
Right, right. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just...
Katie Cassidy from Arrow.
Uh-huh.
She's got a buddy. They've got a thing called Tomboy Chic, or mm-hmm. Tomboy
right.
KC.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a clothing line.
Right.
So there's a lot of pictures of purses and ripped jeans and
sure,
shoes.
But that's business.
That's business.
That's business.
There's a lot of food, and there's a lot of sunsets, and lakes, landscapes. Look at this tree.
Well,
look at my dog. My dog's so cute.
Well, took his cat to the vet today, I posted 5 pictures of my cat at the vet.
Right.
Because,
But your Facebook is not, I don't know what your privacy settings are, but your Facebook is probably not going out to the general public.
No,
it's set for,
not.
People that know you,
right.
your friends and mm-hmm. maybe friends of friends.
Sure.
Instagram's everybody.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. I think part of that's the cult. Part of that is the cult of the celebrity. Because these folks, and we do not currently have this problem as we are not world famous, which...
I tell you, though, some of the stuff that I post, whenever I post, instead of a selfie, I'll post an Alfie.
Right.
I'll post a picture of my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll post a picture of... a meal I have prepared. I mm-hmm. cooked. I cooked tonight. So here's fried chicken and fried
sure.
okra mm-hmm. and ham and what. I get more interaction on that stuff. People like that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And these are people that are not even following us on Instagram. They're just they're finding it in the random
right.
the randomizer.
Mm-hmm.
And they see the picture of the dog. They like the dog. I'm like, who does this? Who has time to do this? And then I look at our statistics, and this goes back to what Patton Oswalt was saying. Just quit Twitter altogether. Because I look at our interaction statistics on our Twitter and our Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and this is one of the reasons why we opened with me asking for people to engage with us and send us emails and send us comments and give us some feedback and some stuff. Because we're not getting any interaction. I look at our Facebook statistics. And it's not, you know, one or two clicks,
right.
15 clicks, you know, depending on how many people actually see it. Because, you know, Facebook's got that algorithm
right.
that keeps all of your people from seeing everything that you post. Well, then I go over and I look at Twitter. And our Twitter engagement, now they measure it just a little bit differently. Facebook calls it reach.
Right.
You know, how many people potentially see your particular that post. Twitter calls it an impression, mm-hmm. how many people can see it. And then, of course, you have your interaction, your engagement is clicking on it or sharing it or commenting or retweeting or replying or whatever.
Sure.
Our Twitter activity is even worse. 0.8% engagement rate in the last 28 days, which means nobody, it boggles my mind. We got over almost 2,200 people that follow us on Twitter. And you would think that out of those 2,200 people, somebody would click on something, but they're not. And I'm sitting there going, okay, well, why are we on Twitter then? And it just goes back to my dinosaur thinking of, I just want to get off the internet. Mm-hmm. Stop the internet, I want to get off. Because this kind of statistical data tells me that it's not doing us any good. And yet, there's that other part of me that says, well, if we're not there, then we don't have a chance of having any growth.
But they're not going to find
it's
us.
It's that double-edged sword again coming in saying, okay, well, this isn't doing us any good, but we have to have it.
Right.
It's like that guy that says, I know 50% of the money I spend on advertising is a waste. I just don't know which 50%.
Right. remember the whole, what is it? They used to say, was it direct mailers? We had to, what, an 8% or 8% or 12% return rate?
Something like that, yeah.
And the thing is that you couldn't afford to lose that 8 to 12%.
Well, and
so you had to have it, even though you're wasting 80 plus percent of
and that's true of all marketing yeah. because you know any money that you spend on advertising at all if you're doing it right,
mm-hmm.
you're doing a mixed media campaign.
Sure,
this is one of the things I ran into when I worked for a TV station up north. We had a guy, a chiropractor. He was doing TV. He was the only chiropractor doing TV in the market, small market,
mm-hmm.
but he was also doing Yellow Pages. And he was doing, you know, some radio. And he was actively doing market research to find out where his new customers were coming from. And invariably, they would always say, Yellow Pages.
Right.
Where'd you see us? Yellow Pages. Mm-hmm. Where'd you see us? The Yellow Pages. And he wasn't taking into account that when I look up this guy on the Yellow Pages, oh, I saw him on TV. There's more of a recognition
right. uh-huh.
that, you know, that impression that he gets from TV reinforces the Yellow Pages ad. And even though he says, I looked you up in the Yellow Pages, he's already, you know, he's already predisposed
sure.
to be engaged with this business because he's seen it on TV. That was that whole mixed media thing. And I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, okay. sure. It's, well, the reality is that you have to have...
You have to have all these channels.
In this day and age, you have to have that kind of connection because that's the avenues where people are looking for you and finding you. And you and I were talking about this during the break, is that I have... I'm a writer, obviously. Well, not obviously, in theory. But I've been involved with several horror films and production designer on one and blah, 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 blah. And suddenly today, I've got like this burst of Twitter followers that I have gained who are all in the horror field, horror authors, horror actors, which is great and wonderful. I love to have more followers because I've got a very tiny number of followers because I'm a terrible Twitter person. I am not that I don't actually post interesting things. It's that basically I have to be reminded to post interesting things because... Yeah. I don't generally see the world in 140 characters. If you've ever read any of my reviews on this site, you know that I don't write short reviews. And if you've ever listened to Jason and I talk, you know we don't talk in 5-minute things and we're out.
Yeah, which is why I'm trying. Yeah,
we're trying to control our time here
because
we can go on and on because we like to talk, and I like to write. And so hey, I've got these great new followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. Except I'm going to lose them. They're going to disappear within the next week.
Before you lose them, make sure that you encourage them to follow superherostuff.com.
That's right.
Something I forgot to mention before we go into the break. I want to mention it now because that gives me a good segue. They are about to have a contest.
Are they now?
15th anniversary in September.
Nice.
And this one's kind of a short notice. I don't know if you're going to be able to get down here because the deadline is September 9th. You can enter a Superhero Stuff video talking about why you're a fan of Superhero Stuff, why you like doing business with Superhero Stuff, and then send it to them. And we will link to their contest page. But also, they are going to be giving away and doing a bunch of sale items throughout the month.
Mm-hmm.
As part of their 15th anniversary, every day for 15 days.
Nice.
And they're going to start that part on the 10th of September. So up to September 9th, you can submit a video as to why you're a fan of Superhero Stuff. And starting on the 10th, they're going to have a bunch of sale items throughout the rest, for the next 15 days. And they're going to be doing giveaways. They're going to be doing contest prizes and stuff. Shopping sprees and all sorts of stuff. So we're going to link to that contest both on our show page, and also we'll post it on Twitter a few times. Not that anybody's going to click on it. I don't know. Superhero Stuff will probably retweet it, but
sure.
Other than that. Well, see, and every now and again, we'll get something like that where a link to Level 117 will get retweeted by Clark Gregg.
Right.
It happened one time, and we got this huge boost in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
One time. Over on Facebook, our article on the Hugo Awards got retweeted by Michael Lacuda, who was the art director for Star Trek The Next Generation.
Right.
Huge boost in traffic. Boom. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the only substantial boost in traffic that we get are from the spam bots. We got hit with one over the weekend.
Right.
Yeah. And this one in the United States, usually they're in Russia.
Usually they're overseas.
Yeah, Russia, or I think we've gotten one from Uruguay. We've gotten one from Spain. A couple of them from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Hungary, I think we've gotten. But this one was the United States. And it had our page, our show pages, our actual pages, not the articles.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way our website is divided up, we've got individual pages for our shows,
mm-hmm.
and for, radio's got a page, TV's got a page, and the book section's got a page. All of those pages got hit.
Right.
Multiple times through the whole thing. And I'm like, this is the only way that we get traffic on the internet. How is this? What? That just goes back to the internet being a good thing on one side, and then a bad thing on another. Really, the iCloud hack,
right,
is the latest example of that, because it's that goes back to privacy issues. It goes back to respect issues. It goes back to being considerate of your neighbor. How many people those of you who are listening, how many of you know your neighbors by name? Not I know who they are. How many of you know them?
Well, but again, okay. There's a couple of things to say to that, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But at the same time, there's another layer to it, in that all of these behaviors that we're seeing existed. The reality is we had a buffer, of time and distance that we don't have anymore. The kind of horrible people who are we're finding online, or the kind of people who are hacking people's photos and putting them out and basically asking for blackmail, essentially.
Yeah.
These people existed. The technology, every time the technology goes ahead, they find a new way to use it. These people have always existed. This is a subset of humanity, which is
new way to abuse it.
Yeah. The reality is that we now have this, that time and distance filter.
Is gone.
And leave aside the filter of good taste, and just general politeness. But the things that made it harder to take advantage of larger groups of people, technology has made it very, very easy to do. To steal data. I mean, there's been identity thieves, and since there's been identity.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, at the risk of offending some people's sensibilities, I think there's a moral component to this too. There is, looking at it from a Christian's perspective, not from any particular denomination or Catholic or Protestant or whatever, but just looking at it from the moral component, there is much more sludge on the internet now. And I think we're getting to a tipping point just from looking at some of the reactions and some of the blowback and some of the people have finally had enough. And I'm wondering what kind of impact this is going to have long term on Facebook specifically, but also the rest of social media. If like in the end of WALL-E,
mm-hmm.
where the people actually get out of their chairs and they realize, oh, there's real people around and we can actually talk to them and interact with them. And what I'm wondering, at what point, if there's going to be a point, at what point do we look at this and say, ew, why are we behaving like this? And it pull, and we get humanity pulling back a little bit, because you know, it's like the poem says, good fences make good neighbors. There does need to be a little bit of separation from the immediacy and the access at one point, you know, on the one hand.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we need to actually start, you know, this whole idea of technology dehumanizing us. We need to pull back from this and say, we're people, not devices. Because I think we're losing touch with, I don't want to say we're losing touch with our humanity. We're losing touch with our ability to be considerate of others.
Well, I think the biggest, and we mentioned this in the first half of the show, I think one of the biggest problems we have is that instant response. Most yeah. people, no matter how nice they may be, should not be allowed to say the first thing that pops into their head.
When I think of how many times I've deleted
exactly.
and not sent something.
Because, well, that's just it. We now have the ability to do that. We now have the ability to say the first thing that pops into our head. This is not a good thing. I spent 4 years in therapy and came out the other side with an internal filter that basically I think about almost everything that I say before I say it.
Yeah.
So if you hear me saying something coming out of my mouth, if it's coherent, like I almost just mangled, you know, that sentence, it's because I thought about what I'm about to say. And that's for my own personal sanity. But yeah, I think we're reaching a point. I think we're reaching a point where we're not going to step back in the way that I think it would be really kind of nice. But I think we're going to start seeing a moderation. In some cases, we're not going to see any moderation at all. I mean, we're just not. I mean, there is going to be someplace online, lots of places online, where horrible people are saying horrible things. We can't get away from that. Right. Those folks have always existed.
They have a different forum
they
just now.
They have an instant forum.
Yeah.
And this is and they're always going to do that. The trolls be trolling. And I'm pretty sure that there was some Sumerian tapping out some cuneiform, and some guy came up and went that sat there and went, oh, well, that sucks.
Well, you look at what the internet blow up over Taylor Swift's last video.
Sure,
you know, the guy who said, oh, she's trying to appropriate blackness or sure. what? I'm like, And he admitted he didn't even watch the video, but right. he's criticizing it. He's like, wait a minute. No, hold it. You just redefined stupid. Yeah, you lost all credibility when you said, I haven't watched the video, but no, that doesn't work that way.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, there's all this stuff online. This is one of the root problems, okay? Everybody has an opinion without a basis for the opinion,
okay? Yes.
And this is something that we see, and you see it in politics, you see it in religion, you see it in entertainment, you see it everywhere, because apparently this is something that's in humanity, and it needs. I wish we could get a scalpel and cut it out. And it's a reaction that I know what I know, whether you know anything or not. You know, you see this in study after study that shows that people are convinced of the things they are convinced of, whether there's actual reason for them to be convinced of that or not.
We should have the government commission a study to spend, I don't know, $60, $80 million to study whether or not there's a connection between people who can control their impulses and whether or not they have an appendix. Because that is just the random kind of thing that they would do. Did you see? This is completely off topic. This
I was going to say what?
This is our digression for the moment. Washington Post was reporting about a study that the government did on duck genitals. The structure of duck genitals. Millions of tax dollars spent to study ducks. Specific body parts of ducks. And I'm hearing about this on the radio today. I'm like, are you serious? But it doesn't surprise me at all. But it's this is the kind of information. I mean, you can look it up online and you can see it's here it is. But let's commission a study to see, you know, because you know that kind of random thing, how many people have their appendix still? I've still got mine. Well, then maybe the appendix gives us the ability to control our impulses. And not be stupid all the time. Maybe? I don't know. Send us an email, h2o@sci-fi-for-me.com. Let us know if you have your appendix and can control your impulses. Inquiring minds want to know. Duck genitals.
Well, but you know what? There's in this particular thing, and I'm actually looking at a PolitiFact study, and this was actually funded by the National Science Foundation. And this is not a new thing, actually. This study was in March of last year, or this whole thing blew up on CNS News. Good Lord. And it actually has to do with blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. But...
half the internet doesn't matter.
Yeah. But... that's another thing. This actually comes back to this does loop around to the whole point, in that periodically you see this sort of story pop up about the government spending this on this and government spending this on this, and then you start looking at the facts and you start tracking it back, and a lot of this, there was some senator, I can't remember which one it was, some time ago, and he went on a whole rant about government spending on science studies,
right,
and then people sat there and actually broke down the things that he was talking about. It's like, well, actually. That actually was money that the university applied for a grant from the federal government, and the university let their research staff do that study. And that, you know, it's money that ultimately came from the federal government, but it was research money that the university applied for in general, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And there's all these different things. You sit there and go, well, okay, if you're speaking in broad general terms, you're correct, but if you start talking about this particular study or that particular study, you're running into some problems. And this is something that we do, and this comes back to the journalism thing, in that we aren't looking, we get these messages, again, instant. We're talking in sound bites.
Yes.
We're talking in, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. We're talking with clickbait. And I don't know that there's a solution. Okay, it's going to have to burn it out. I don't know. I think because everything goes in cycles, right? We reach a tipping point where
I'm still waiting for the tipping point on reality TV. I still want that to go away. Daytime talk shows, they've kind of had their heyday and they've gone away.
Okay, reality TV. The tipping point is going to be financial. It's all going to come. It comes down to money.
Yeah, but they're not going to start losing money until people stop watching.
Well, okay.
And people haven't stopped watching.
I know. Well, okay, because...
People stop watching reality TV.
Yes, please do. Okay, because, well, we as a species seem to have a fondness for sensationalism.
Yes, we like to gawk at the other person's misery.
Right, and this is not a new thing. And unfortunately, it's probably going to be with us for a very long time, much to my great annoyance with our species, because it's not cool. Stop it. Staring at the train wreck or staring at the car wreck.
Yeah.
These are not nice things. You wouldn't want someone doing it to you. Don't do it.
Taking a selfie in front of the car wreck. Oh, that's where we are.
Stop watching Jersey Shore. And that's not even on the air anymore, is it?
I don't know. I don't pay any attention.
I don't either.
But speaking of which, I wonder if selfie is actually going to help with some of this. because it is just from seeing the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched it yet.
You need to watch it.
I because I've been told this. Because, I really do.
You know, Karen Gillan just took a picture. She did a selfie of her standing in front of the selfie poster out right. in L.A. Just as a gag, mm-hmm. right? But her character is the internet.
I think it's the point of the show. I mean, that's
the point. And I am really hoping that they do it right and they go back to, hey, people, we're people. You need to be able to connect with people and mm-hmm. get off of these devices because it's making us all rude and stupid. And the pilot does a really good job of establishing her
as being rude and stupid.
And through her, the rest of the internet.
Yeah.
As this disconnected, self-absorbed, not paying attention to anybody or anything else in the world. Me, 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 now, now, now. Mm-hmm. It's all about self-gratification. It's all about self-aggrandizement. I'll use that word, and not very often.
Say, that's true. You don't get to use that one very often.
I don't. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. That's this whole, it's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet has fueled that. It's made it, it's enabled us to do that more. You know, it's one of the reasons I don't take selfies. The only time that I do any kind of a selfie is, you know, I'll put something on Instagram, like say if I'm guest hosting Big Dumb Fun Show.
Right.
You know, if I'm filling up somebody, or if I'm taking, you know, if I take a picture with, you know, hey, look, I'm talking with Ashley Eckstein.
Right.
You know, it's mm-hmm. in the course of my work.
Right.
And, you know, we've taken a picture for H2O. It's, you know, it's promotional mm-hmm. stuff.
Sure.
But I don't just sit there and go, click, and you know, put a picture out there of me.
Right.
I don't want to do that. I'm not that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And I see all of these people posting pictures of themselves. And there's even now these psychological studies about how they're connected with narcissism and self, you know.
But you know what? One of the things I like about the selfie? You can identify people now. You know what that schmuck looks like.
I don't want to see
No. Because you know what that, because these are people using their stuff as their profile picture. And they just said that horrible thing. And now you know what that schmuck looks like.
Well, that doesn't do anything. That doesn't help getting rid of them.
No, but you know, to avoid that person.
Yeah, point.
See the person go, oh, wait, I remember you. You're horrible. I don't want to. So I think, you know, I wish there was a simple solution to this. I wish there was a way you could just sit there. This is the magic wand moment where you're going to sit there and go, make people nicer. But that's never worked and it's never going to work.
We need to have a story where the main thing
mm-hmm.
that somebody can use to fix things is handwavium. and you know, because handwavium is used a lot to explain away things. But let's start using handwavium to change things. Let's come up with a story where handwavium is, you know, just as rare as unobtainium. But you know, we find that one source a hand wavium that allows us to make things better.
Ah, oh, that'd be nice. Well, the here's the hope, though.
It's in a unicorn cave.
Yes.
That's how rare it is.
I think here's the thing that we have to bear in mind, and this is the positive note I think we can leave this on, is that we live in a time when technology has enabled us to have the kind of connections we have in a broader sense, that instant response to other parts of the world. We can share a review, even if it's spam, even if it's with a spam bot, with somebody in Russia. Or we can post something to YouTube and suddenly it becomes an internet sensation. A British fan can post his self-made Doctor Who opening titles.
Mm-hmm.
And have Stephen Moffat look at that and go, we need to have that for the new show, for this season of the show. Okay? This is the kind of world where, you know, you can topple a government with Twitter, which is a good thing and a bad thing because you have to replace that government when you're done. But it's you know, it's everything's a balancing act, and some of it's a teeter totter that's wildly unbalanced. But the good news is that we haven't completely gotten rid of good people. We haven't completely gotten rid of people who are willing to try and be, to look up from the cell phone, look up from the computer, and try and connect with other people. I mean, we do have to try and drag Jason out of the basement periodically and expose him to the rest of the world and other people. But at the same time, you know, it's important to get out and talk to people. It's important to interact because one of the joys of going to a comic book convention, you know, to Planet Comic Con or, you know, go to Chicago, go to San Diego, go to Salt Lake, go to any New York, go to any of these places, is interacting with each other. Meeting other fans, meeting the stars of the show, the movie, or the game, or whatever you like. You know, meeting those authors, meeting, you know, checking out the cool people in the cosplay, being nice to them.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interaction with other people. It's we love that stuff. Everybody, you can't get 60,000 people to show up to a con who don't want to be there.
Right.
And interact with other people. So we know that it happens. You know, I hate to leave it with just be nice to each other, but at the same time, be nice to each other and recognize that the person on the other end of the computer is a person, and don't say the first horrible thing that pops into your head, Jason.
See, this is why I don't deal with people. So I don't have to think about what the first thing pops into my head. I don't have any first things that pop into my head because I don't have to deal with people. I just push buttons on a computer and I edit video, and that's all I do.
Does that make us part of the problem?
I don't know. It could be.
Well,
but
you know, we're thinking about it.
Yeah, we're thinking about it. And hopefully other people are looking at it. And I think that we are going to get, among all of the things that are going on right now, I do think that we're going to get some people doing a little navel-gazing and some self-examination and some examination of the landscape of the internet and see just how things can improve. How can we make things better? How do we do our part to make it not quite such a cesspool? It's going to take time.
Well, you know, you try and you want to believe in the innate goodness of people. And the reality is that we personally know a lot of really amazing people. I mean, just good people, you know, from all walks of life. And they're fans. That's how a lot of them, you know, whether they're in the, you know, well, we know a lot of people in the film community, we know a lot of people in the Kansas City, but we know a lot of people around the world who are just fans. And we know they're nice people. They're good people. We know they're out there. I think a lot of the problem is that the people who are out doing things, like being out in the world and exploring the world, aren't online to counterbalance the folks who are living online and being horrible. So don't be horrible.
So don't be horrible, and let us know how we can do better. Topics that we can talk about, you know, suggest some topics for us, and
love that.
Let us know if we're, you know, you like what we're doing, you want us to keep doing it the same way we've been doing it, or you want us to do it different, or, you know, give us some feedback. H2O@scififorme.com. You can also find us, for now, on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Tumblr and Instagram and Pinterest. I think Pinterest is going to go away. Also, check out superherostuff.com. Remember, we will be putting a link to their contest. You've got just a few days. By the time you hear this, you've got just a few days to put your video together on why you're a fan, and we will link to that contest, and then they'll also be having a sale for their 15th anniversary this month of September.
Sounds like some great deals, and they are a great site. We like them a lot.
Yes, and so we'd like you to follow them on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. I already went through all of our social media, so I won't do it again. Tim Harvey, thanks for opining again today.
Always fun. Well, yeah, fun.
Sometimes. Jason Hunt here, inviting you to join us again next week. I have no idea what we're going to talk about yet, but we'll find something
interesting. I'm sure we will.
Maybe in the email.
Hey.
Maybe.
That'd be cool.
All right, we will be back next week with another episode of H2O.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2014 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.